With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this second Sunday in Advent, our hymns are 338, 605, 347, 594, and 834. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled Comfort for God's People and is taken from Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn this morning, hymn number 4.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to be with all of you here this morning. God has indeed, he has brought us here in his peace and his love to share his many gifts with us, and he has brought us here to enjoy hope. Indeed, that is going to be our next theme for our Advent season each week. As you remember, we are lighting a new candle of our Advent wreath, and that is to remind us of the coming nearness of Christ's return and the preparation that needs to be taken. This is a time of repentance for God's people, looking forward to that day when the Lord of the universe comes again. As you'll notice around our Advent wreath, you'll notice that the main colors of three of the candles is blue, and that is to represent heaven, to show where our hope comes from. As the psalmist himself asks, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This Advent season, we are looking toward the Lord of all heaven and earth, knowing that he, from him, is where our comfort and joy, our hope, lies. As God gives us comfort, gives us hope for this week, let us sing with joy our first hymn together, number 338. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, dear friends in Christ, Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, you are favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. Look at all of you here today. It's so good to be with you. It just cheers my heart to see all of us coming together. Well, you also know what I have with me, something else that cheers me. I'm going to show you. These are some things that make me happy, you know. First, I got a little stuffed teddy bear, right? Those make me happy. And how about this one? A really soft blanket. Why do you think these things make us so happy? Why do they make us feel good?
They're comfortable.
They're comfortable. Wonderful. What else? Yeah, they're soft. Yeah. All of these wonderful things. Oh, you got another thing? Then they're warm, exactly. All of these wonderful things. And so, when are some times that we might need something that is soft and warm and comfortable? You have an idea? At night, right? When it's dark, maybe when we're scared, we want to hide under our little blankets that are so soft and cozy, right? What else? When it's winter, okay, when it's cold outside, these things definitely make us feel better. Any other times? So we said when we're tired, when we're scared, when we're sick, right? All of the, oh, you got another one? At nighttime, exactly, wonderful. So all of these times is when we need something to make us comfortable. And that's an important word for us this morning, comfort. In fact, if you are listening to our Old Testament reading this morning, God says, comfort my people. Do you know what comfort means? Any ideas what comfort means? Yeah, it's to uplift, and it's to cheer us when we're sad. It's to make us feel better, right? To make us feel more safe, right? And so when God says comfort, why does God have to comfort his people? Why does God comfort his people? Well, you know, we all struggle in this life. We all experience fears. We all experience pain. In fact, that's where my family is this morning. My wife, Maria, and baby, they're sick at home this morning. They're not feeling very well, and they could really use a lot of comfort. I hope Walter isn't missing his teddy bear and blanket this morning. But he'll forgive me, right? But we see that we all need comfort. And how does God comfort us? The last and greatest question of all, how does God comfort us? Well, of course, he comforts us with his promises, right? He comforts us with his word. God gives us his promises that he's going to love us and be with us forever, that he's going to keep us safe even when it's dark, even when we're hurting, even when we're afraid or cold. God is always with us, and he has sent Jesus into the world to love us, to come and dwell among us, to eventually give his life for us. So that he could free us from all sin, from death, and that we can live one day in heaven with him when everything's going to be perfect and there won't be any sorrow or sadness or pain anymore. All of these wonderful things is why we can find great comfort in God's word. Well, can you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son to comfort us. We thank you for giving us all of your promises, knowing that you are always with us and you keep us safe. We ask that you would surround us with comforting things, with yourself, of course, but also with family and friends and with all of the comforting gifts you give us. And so we thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much. You guys can return to your seat and grab a piece of candy. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. Spirit, my people, says your God. The only 7 words long, verse 1 of our Old Testament reading is packed full of cheering words. What a glorious message. For what a wonderful title the Lord puts upon us here, referring to us as his people. Though properly speaking, the whole world is the Lord's. The heavens are his and the hosts thereof. However, there's a particular people, though, who are his treasured possession. A special people in whom he has such great intimacy with. That is a special people of whom he takes this particular interest in. He sets them apart from all others, sets a distinction upon them, calling them my people. While nations come and go, and while a world of people are simply passed by, the Lord has chosen a select many of whom he calls my people. The title itself is an interesting one, for we see in here a sense of ownership. We are his people. We are the Lord's possession. In fact, the Bible talks about how the Lord's portion is his people. Jesus' inheritance is the church of his saints. For while the world is within his power, yet are his people, his chosen favored ones, more especially his. For he has purchased us with his own blood. He has bought us with his own life. He has loved us, dear friends, not because we were so great or worthy or lovable compared to anybody else. Rather, it is much more simple than that. He's loved us simply because he is a loving God. In fact, we would say that he's rather loved us in spite of us. In spite of our rebellion, our kicking, complaining, and the dishonoring of his name, in spite of being so unlovable, even still, the Lord of love has loved his people. Not again because we were worthy of his love, but because he has loved us with an everlasting love. He has set his affections upon his people since before we were born. With a love, dear friends, which burns so passionately that not an ocean of water can quench it. A love that the passing of a million years can never dampen. His love for his people shall never diminish to the least degree. For I, the Lord, do not change, he says. Therefore, you are not consumed. And if with the hands of faith, dear friends, we can lay hold of Christ Jesus and say, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord and Master. As sure as we can say those things, knowing that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, then we can assuredly say that concerning us, the Lord has said, my people. And he has put his loving affections upon you. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. What a cheering consolation that you are an object of his choice, a child of particular favor, accepted in the beloved and called in your baptism. Of you, dear friends, does the Lord have a particular and cheering message for this morning? Comfort, comfort you. How caring, how thoughtful, and how anxious is the Lord Almighty's concern for his people. I wonder if we truly grasp the significance of that word twice repeated. Comfort. Notice how he doesn't simply care about his people's lives. He's not only interested in the fact that you have breath in your lungs, but his concern is so much deeper and intimate than that. For the Lord's concern is even about his people's comfort. Every day, God gives charge to his angels concerning you. Sending them out, he says, as ministering spirits to those who shall inherit salvation. And daily, then, does God grant life and everything we need, food, water, health, and strength. All that and more does God give his people. But on this occasion, we see an even more tender side of God towards his people. Here we see that God is not only mindful of our needs, but he's mindful for our comforts. He cares not only for that which we require, but he's interested also in the embellishments and the add-ons of life. When God brought Israel into the promised land, he not only preserved them and kept them alive, but truly he went so much farther than that, giving them into the land that was flowing with milk and honey. When Israel needed bread in the wilderness, he not only gave them bread, but he rained down manna from heaven. He gave them manna, which is said elsewhere to be like the food of angels. When Israel first partook of the manna, Moses said that it tasted like wafers made with honey. God not only cared for his people that they would have food and drink, but as the scriptures say, his desire is to give them a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow and of aged wine well refined. Not just so that we would be fed, but for us to be a happy and cheerful people. And should we think that would be strange, that the Lord of love should desire good things for his people? Not just so that we would exist, but that we would have life and have life abundantly. Seeing the very nature of God, it shouldn't surprise us that through the Apostle Paul, God even gives us the command to be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says, and again I say, rejoice. Be joyful and be joyful again, we could say. Clearly, God seeks to gladden the hearts of his people, and he shall surely do it in its entirety, dear friends, in the fullness of time. Even though it hasn't yet reached its fullest manifestation of what it will be, even still though today, both the heart and call of God goes out, comfort, comfort you, my people. Well, God desires comfort for his people. And while he will do so once and for all eternity through the riches of himself in heaven, the way in which God wants to comfort his people now, especially in this passage specifically, we are told is through the promulgation of a particular message. For in the Hebrew, this is actually a command where God says, comfort my people. And what follows then after verse 1 is a list of promises and comforting truths. Speak tenderly, he says, to Jerusalem. Say to her that her warfare is over,
Her iniquity is pardoned. The temporal punishment for her sin is over. On and on the message goes, filled with comforting truths for his people. Talking further about a highway that is being built up. A straight road where the King of Heaven shall come directly to you. A highway in which you can have immediate access to the Lord. Where all that would hinder you and get in the way of you going to him shall be all cleared and leveled off. The way shall be made easy and your relationship shall be fully restored. Your intimacy shall be great between yourself and your God. Well, it would be fun to go through that whole list in greater detail. I want to instead spend the rest of our time jumping down and looking at verse 8. Isaiah says, "The grass withers, the flowers, they fade, but the word of our God will stand forever." That is a most comforting message, that the word of God will stand forever. And it's especially comforting, dear friends, when we stop to consider what exactly that word of God is. For contemplating upon the eternal word of God, that must bring comfort. And for God's people, it must bring both joy and peace, knowing that his word is eternal. That is all of God's words, every word of his promise. Every word of every promise he has ever made, dear friends, that will stand forever. Every promise God's ever spoken, it is as true today as it was when it was first uttered. If the world should continue to exist for tens of thousands of more years, every promise will be just as sure, just as true, and just as new and fresh as it was when it was first uttered. For no promise of God can ever grow stale. See rather how he says, "Behold, I make all things new." Not an iota, not a dot of any one of his promises can cease. The promises of our God, they may be fulfilled and kept thousands and millions of times over, but God's faithfulness will continue flowing, always fresh, always new, for a coming and going generation. His promises are yours forever. Those promises where he says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." And again, the promise when he says, "Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved." Or when he says that he is coming again, "I come again to bring you where I am, and there you will be forever with the Lord." What wonderful promises, but they endure forever. But beyond just the promises, though, we could talk about how every word of his purpose, his eternal decrees, they can never come to an end either. As the prophet asks, "Has the Lord spoken and will he not do it? Has he planned it and will it not come to pass?" God from eternity past has planned a most wondrous salvation for his people. He has chosen a people to love and to connect himself with, a people who he's called, against whom not even the powers of hell can thwart his endeavors. The kingdoms of darkness cannot hinder the plan and purposes of our God. The words of his purpose will stand forever. And lastly, dear friends, we can't talk about the enduring nature of the word of God without talking about the word made flesh. We often talk about the Bible as being God's word, and that is all fine and good. It's true. But most importantly, we must talk about Christ, the Word made flesh. For as John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I think the most beautiful idea is that Jesus, the Word of God, that He will stand forever. It is that He will endure forever. Today does the Lord Jesus sit on His throne. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore, He lives triumphant in the skies. And He shall continue to sit on His throne forever. His enemies He has trampled under His foot. The Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, He shall stand victorious forever. Behold the Lamb as He's been slain, sitting upon His throne. And He lives daily to make intercession for His people. His blood, it continues enduring forever to avail for His saints. It continues daily to wash, to redeem and sanctify and cleanse His people every single day. Forever and always, dear friends, Jesus lives to work life and forgiveness into the lives of His people. Jesus, He is that unchanging, faithful friend who shall stand at your side forever. And regardless of what troubles may bring, He is forever that solid rock. He will never leave you or forsake you, who says. What comfort indeed, beloved. Comfort, comfort, my people. Comfort, comfort, says your God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, 594.
At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are your people and you are our God. We praise your holy name that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and that though we have not deserved your affections, you have cared for us and purposed for our good. You have set your love upon us, and in baptism you have put your name upon us. We ask that you would give us hope, faith, and trust to live in the joys of this truth. Give us comfort, knowing that we belong to you. And further, Lord, we pray for humility and to recognize our absolute need that depends upon you. That we have nothing within ourselves that is worthy of your grace. That we live dependent upon you every hour of the day. You still love us. We ask that you would teach us true wisdom and humility, that we may die to self and to live to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all comfort, we thank you for your boundless love shown towards us through the keeping of your word. Though again, we deserved to be cast off forever, you have made eternal promises towards us. You have assured us and staked your own name to the keeping of this promise, that you would be faithful forever.
We thank you for the confidence in knowing that your word shall stand forever. We thank you for your eternal promises, your eternal purposes, and for your eternal Son, whom you have given to live and die and to intercede for your people. Continue to forgive us, wash us, and lead us into the ways of eternal life until you call us home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, we ask for your comfort, strength, joy, and spirit this Advent season. Continue to raise us up to join you on your mission to seek and to save the lost. Continue to lead us to share your message and acts of kindness towards our neighbors, our communities, and to one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Almighty, you are the strong tower for all who call upon you. We ask that you would be with all military personnel and first responders this holiday season. Sustain life and safety to those who seek to serve others in dangerous and trying vocations. Lord, be with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, be with all who are hurting this morning. Those we name silently before you, those struggling with depression, those who are hurting in body and spirit, those who are suffering from the pains of life, be with these to comfort and cheer them. Use all trials to bring people closer to yourself. Continue to reveal yourself as a God of comfort and a God of might to all who are hurting. Especially this morning, we lift before you, again, the family of Wallace Brady Hoff, as we laid his body to rest until the day of the resurrection. We ask that you would comfort and strengthen his family. Be especially with Vicky, with Stanley, Mallory, and Ron, and their sons. Lead them who mourn to find comfort in you. Lead them to find comfort in your word and in the fellowship and conversations they have with one another. And for the Lord, we lift continually before you Carolyn Lubert, Cora Lee, Ron Hinton, and Thelma Nienheiser, and for all of our shut-ins and nursing home residents. Be to your people the wonderful counselor and the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 834.